This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and happy Friday. The weekend is almost upon us. Thank you for joining us on the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sumitra Selvaraj and I'm joined today by Lim Soo Ann and T. Shao Yik. And as always, we've got two stories for you this Friday.
First up, the European Space Agency recently proposed another space mission, not to boldly go where no man has gone before, but to clean up what we've sent up to space. So that's right, we need to clean up the mess we've created in low Earth orbit.
Just can't stop littering, can we?
No, yes. We've littered so much of Earth, we've gone out of space to do it.
Mm-hmm. So, and tell us about our gotong royong in space.
Yes. So, the European Space Agency, or ESA, I think it's commonly referred to, it's an intergovernmental agency of European states. It's dedicated to space exploration, and it's actually getting its biggest financial boost in 25 years. Mm. So, this was at a conference in Seville, Spain, where the 22 member states of ESA agreed to a 14.4 billion euros budget for the next 5 years.
Impressive.
Now, this is a cause for celebration, and it's been making quite a few headlines, but also alongside that were news articles of ESA's Director General, Johann Dietrich Warner, who also raised another side of space exploration or space research that is perhaps discussed less often than, going out to discover new planets or conquering Mars. And this is the fact that space launches often produce a lot of waste in space. So Warner also spoke about the dangers of how these dead satellites could pose to whatever satellites or space stations that we have, as well as on future launches, and thus proposes that new missions are done to tackle this growing problem of space debris.
So the United States Space Surveillance Network detects, tracks, catalogs and identifies artificial objects orbiting Earth, usually those that are at least 5 centimeters in diameter. And currently, how many debris objects do you think is floating around in space? Just take a guess.
5 centimeters in diameter? That doesn't sound very big. How much could there be up there? I don't know. 1,000 pieces? 2,000 pieces?
Nowhere close. It stands more than 22,000 currently.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. So figures provided then by ESA's Space Debris Office from January 2019 put this further into context. So since the start of the space age in 1957, when Sputnik 1 was launched, there have been about 5,450 rocket launches, which excludes failures. And these, more than 5,000 rocket launches have placed 8,950 satellites into Earth orbit. Of these, about 5,000 are still in space, but only about 1,950 are still functioning. So, like you said, Sue, lots of dead satellites.
It's just floating about in space.
That's right. So, a majority of the satellites in orbit are actually space junk. And of course, this is a growing problem because of new satellites being launched into space each year.
If I'm reading this correctly, just this past July, a couple of months ago, Amazon asked for the US Federal Communications Commission's permission to launch over, am I seeing this correct, 3,000 satellites into low Earth orbit. SpaceX has launched 60 satellites this year alone and is also requesting permission from the commission to operate as many as, this can't be right, 30,000 satellites on top of the 12,000 already approved.
Yeah, I think because these aren't the large satellites that you might imagine, like they traditionally are, but smaller ones, but they are still satellites, essentially, that are being set up.
Yeah, definitely more than 5 centimeters in diameter.
Yes.
Right, and if I'm sure you're going to explain this later, Suan, but they don't come back down, do they? They just stay up there.
Well, 5,000 of them are still up there right now.
So, rightly so. This has raised concerns of many astronomers about its likely impact on future observations of the night sky. Imagine if you see more satellites than stars at some point. And some have even put up images of how satellites are changing the constellations in the sky. But this is really a whole different conversation for perhaps a whole Daily Digest just by itself, right? Going back to the issue of space debris, it's easy to see how these thousands of satellites will worsen mm-hmm. the situation in low Earth orbit.
I mean, you know, okay, apart from the fact that they're cluttering up our view of space, should we be concerned here on Earth for ourselves?
Well, it's I think it's because when people are paying this much money, right, to, especially even if governments, if you're funding these satellites to go up into space, and then what you do is you encounter all this debris there, and then there's the likelihood of collision.
I don't like this idea of looking up at constellations and stargazing and seeing that Orion has an extra loop on his belt.
And I think that's something that we already see now, don't we? Like if you look up into the night sky, you barely see any stars, and the bright ones are often the satellites.
Mm, yes, right. That's true.
And, you know, there are, and going back to some of the dangers that they pose, you know, and space debris come in a range of sizes. You mentioned earlier that, Shavik, that some of the ones that are tracked are at least 5 centimeters in diameter, and the larger ones are things like burnt up rockets or, dead spacecraft, but a majority of it are these smaller things, and even some small flecks of paint and dust. And these are actually potentially hazardous in space because even dust particles that don't normally pose a threat here on Earth, they could actually act like bullets whizzing through space at thousands of kilometers an hour, and that actually becomes dangerous for the astronauts up there, for the equipment that's up there.
How fascinating to think that something that is relatively harmless mm-hmm. on Earth is turned into a potential
projectile.
Yes, a murderous projectile in space.
It goes back to the fact that we are sending equipment up into space, we're sending people up into space, and we don't want them to be put at risk for things that could easily be prevented. And you know, I found some examples. In 1986, a fragment from a long disintegrated Ariane rocket stage collided with a French military satellite, Ceres, and that cut a 20-foot boom, which I think is part of the satellite, in half. Yeah. And then the Hubble Space Telescope solar panels, when they brought them back to Earth in 2002, they found that these were peppered with impact craters on it.
Dust. It's dust. It's dust bombarding the space telescopes.
And in 2009, a communication satellite that was launched actually collided with a defunct Soviet Union-era satellite, and that created 1,800 new pieces of tracked debris.
Oh, that's right. It would create more debris, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Mm.
So you can see how unchecked space debris can collide with active satellites or even threaten a spacewalking astronaut, as if the astronauts don't already have enough to worry about when they're out doing a spacewalk, right? So one collision can lead to another, which leads to another. And this catastrophic cascade is also known as the Kessler syndrome, named after the scientist who proposed it, Donald J. Kessler. And yeah, this is like kind of a space domino effect, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I guess perhaps it doesn't seem as pressing as some of the issues that we do face here, and perhaps it isn't, but it's just another aspect of life that you want to think about, right? The fact that you're not only littering the Earth, you're littering the space above the Earth.
I suppose it depends on how much responsibility, how wide you believe the environment in which it is that you live in. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that you are somebody who just, you know, lives in Tamantun, and you know, you have to be worried about the rubbish that's being thrown and picked up in Tamantun, or are you worried about something that's happening millions of miles away from you as well?
I mean, it's sort of a similar argument to if you live in a country that fines you for littering, but you go to another country where its laws are lax, do you then not feel personal responsibility, right?
Perhaps we should ask the Singaporeans to call in for that one.
Oh, I was not going to mention any country.
Well, I guess perhaps maybe this is a bit more difficult for people to picture what it's like in space. So I did find a TED Talk by aerospace engineer Natalie Panek, and she spoke about she explained more about how this works, right, what the space junk that exists in space, and she actually compares it to accidents on a highway.
So imagine you're driving down the highway on a beautiful sunny day out running errands. You've got your music cranked, your windows rolled down with the cool breeze blowing through your hair. Feels nice, right? Everything is going smoothly until suddenly your car stutters and stalls right in the middle of the highway. So now you have no choice but to abandon your car where it is on the highway. Maybe you were lucky enough to be able to move it out of the way and into a shoulder lane so that it's out of the way of other traffic. A couple of hours ago, your car was a useful machine that you relied on in your everyday life. Now, it's a useless hunk of metal taking up space in a valuable transportation network. And imagine international roadways all cluttered with broken down vehicles that are just getting in the way of other traffic. And imagine the debris that would be strewn everywhere if a collision actually happened. Thousands of smaller pieces of debris becoming new obstacles. This is the paradigm of the satellite industry. Satellites that are no longer working are often left to deorbit over many, many years, or only moved out of the way as a temporary solution. And there are no international laws in space to enforce us to clean up after ourselves.
Okay, so we don't have international laws in place, which I find hard. I mean, I find it quite hard to picture how that would work as well.
Yeah.
But apparently we do have some guidelines, although clearly they are non-binding. Mm. And these recommendations are made based on different scenarios, depending on where the satellites are sent to. So Panic explains this far better than I can. So here's another clip from her talk.
Now, we send satellites to different orbits depending on what they're needed for. One of the most common places we send satellites is the low Earth orbit, possibly to image the surface of Earth at up to about 2,000 kilometers altitude. Satellites there are naturally buffeted by Earth's atmosphere, so their orbits naturally decay, and they'll eventually burn up, probably within a couple of decades. Another common place we send satellites is the geostationary orbit at about 35,000 kilometers altitude. Satellites there remain in the same place above Earth as the Earth rotates, which enables things like communications or television broadcasts, for example. Satellites in high orbits like these could remain there for centuries. And then there's the orbit coined the graveyard, the ominous junk or disposal orbits, where some satellites are intentionally placed at the end of their life so that they're out of the way of common operational orbits. Now, because space debris and junk has become increasingly worrisome, there have been some national and international efforts to develop technical standards to help us limit the generation of additional debris. So, for example, there are recommendations for those low Earth orbiting spacecraft to be made to deorbit in under 25 years. But that's still a really long time, especially if a satellite hasn't been working for years. There's also mandates for those dead geostationary spacecraft to be moved into a graveyard orbit. But neither of these guidelines is binding under international law, and the understanding is that they will be implemented through national mechanisms. These guidelines are also not long-term, they're not proactive, nor do they address the debris that's already up there. They're only in place to limit the future creation of debris. Space junk is no one's responsibility.
Bit so bleak.
It is.
It is. Yeah.
And I guess that goes back to what you said about international laws, Shari, how it's difficult to picture how it would look like because...
And who would enforce them? Who's going to hold any country or space agency accountable?
Yes. Mm. And also then if, like we mentioned earlier about how, like we were talking about earlier about how private companies are sending up their own satellites. Mm-hmm, how would that come into play as well when you're talking about laws? Are we just going to regulate countries? Or is that going to also include these private companies that are doing their own thing up in space? but there are groups that are trying to take part of this responsibility, right? So this is why ESA's Director General has proposed a mission to bring down ESA-owned assets that are still in orbit around the Earth and also to avoid future space debris through direct deorbiting of any launches that they have.
Mm. So apart from ESA's proposed mission, there are also other efforts to clean up space junk. Just last year, a satellite called Remove Debris was launched to perform experiments to demonstrate technologies that can be used to capture space debris. One of these is a drag sail, which slows down spacecraft in orbit. And as the item is slowed down and its surface area increases with the sail, it speeds up the process where it's bombarded by more small particles and then pushed and dragged down back to Earth, where it presumably burns up upon re-entry. Mm. And so then there are other devices such as harpoons, robotic arms, and nets to grab a defunct satellite, for example, and push it back down to Earth, which are also being developed, which I think is fascinating.
Mm. So this whole idea is essentially just to grab them or design them in a way where after a certain period of time, they will slowly, their orbit decays, and then as they interact with the Earth Earth's atmosphere, they will burn up upon re-entry.
I think it's really cool. We've already got our satellites up in space. You know, maybe years down the line, we'll see DBKL kind of cleanup satellites trailing behind our Meersat sat. I think it's possible. Don't scoff at my idea.
But the irony of having to send out more satellites to clean up satellites, right? But on that note, on WhatsApp, we have somebody who says satellites are fake.
Oh.
I wonder if you use Google Maps, and if you do...
Or watch the Premier League on particular satellite providers in Malaysia. Actually, Sun, you've given me a great idea, you know, for perhaps a future live and learn, right? I wonder what... I'd like to hear what Meersat does about space debris, whether they're concerned about it, whether it's something that they're putting any, you know, kind of R&D into. Mm. Yeah, great idea.
Because I'm wondering, right, yes, there is a vast, vast amount of space up there, but there will come a point where we're sending up so many satellites that we will end up cluttering the space, that perhaps one day there isn't any space for us to conduct space missions.
No space in space.
Sounds a bit grim, but there is a lot of space in space.
Okay, we'll take your word for it.
Okay, so that's all about all the time we have for this segment. You're more than welcome to keep the conversation going with us. Tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 01878 9889. You can call us for a chat at 03-7733-2900. We'll take a quick break, but we'll be back shortly with our second story. We're going to leave you with a song called Vast Space by Gulp. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.